Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil. Tonight is Wednesday, August the 24th of 2016, and joining me in the virtual studio is Dr. Craig Brown of STEM Resource Partners. Hi, Craig. How are you today?
Good. I am doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, excellent. Very excited. We were talking a little bit before the show got started, and I said I introduced you as Dr. Craig Brown, but I kind of feel like I should introduce you as Dr. Craig Brown. And for the listening audience, you may or may not know, Craig has three PhDs. So, Craig, let's start there. What's the story behind you getting your first, second, and third PhD?
You know, my first PhD was as a result of being asked to get a PhD. One of my mentors in college and dean of students asked me if I would be interested in furthering my education. Mind you, I was in the master's program at the time. I was earning my master's in business. And initially I was, no, I'm fine. I have enough education. I've been in school a long time. And I was just ready to get out in the world and do more things in terms of working and just getting into life. And but then they presented me with the finances to do it, so it wouldn't cost me anything. I wouldn't have to borrow any money. And so I just felt like, okay, well, let's at least see what it's like. I didn't even know what a PhD really was. Until they introduced me to it at the time. But anyway, Dr. Hewlett, who was the dean at the time, was very influential in getting me interested, and so what happened. And when I finished it, my first one, I guess something happens when you start to look at, you know, the subject matter and at that level. I was very, very, very interested in research, and I was very interested, and I really liked the process that it takes to earn a doctorate. And so I kind of looked into, well, what other subjects would I be interested in? And but I went out to work for a while, a couple of years, and felt like, you know, I didn't have the tools, and I thought the second PhD was, you know, going to help me acquire the tools that I didn't have from a knowledge standpoint. And that's how I earned the first two.
Okay. Well, let me interrupt just a little bit. So the first one you were asked, and that was when you were getting your MBA at Wharton. And then the second one, and you finished up your first PhD at age 24. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Is correct.
And then the second PhD, you finished up around age 27.
At age 27. Now, the second PhD has somewhat of a unique situation. Because the first PhD is Management Information Systems, and the second PhD was in Computer Information Systems, and they're in the same realm. So I was able to use a lot of my first work, the work for my first doctorate, and a lot of my published information. I was able to cite a lot of it in my second doctorate. So it gave me an advantage because I didn't have to start from square one because they were very similar in nature in terms of the fields.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you then went on to get a third PhD. I don't know, maybe three times a charm. The third PhD. And you stated that you love learning and research.
I love learning.
So what was the third PhD and why?
The third doctorate came more from, you know, something more personal. At the time, I was undergoing, I was in medical treatments for cancer. And my biggest fear at the time wasn't the cancer itself. It was its impact on my ability to think on my ability to continue to be as sharp as I was in terms of my mental capacity. And so I didn't know any other way to maintain that other than to go to school, right? So I decided to pursue the third doctorate basically because of interest and simply because I wanted to keep myself busy, keep my mind active. You know, and when I went into it, I didn't even promise myself I would finish. I was really just interested in going through the motions. You know, a little bit of me kicked in, and I'm not a quitter. So when I came near the end of my chemo, I was also getting near the time when it was time to submit for my dissertation. So I went into the last phase of it, you know, in remission, and I was able to excel at it like I did the other two, and everything worked out well, and I earned it with honors.
Wow, congratulations. And I almost feel like I should say that you motored through the last part of your third PhD, because when I read your bio, it's really this interesting combination. You're clearly driven, you're passionate, you love learning, and you talk about fear in a sense in a very positive way. On your bio, it shares that motorcycle riding was something that was important to you. And so can you weave in, just kind of bring us into that mindset of cancer, chemotherapy, wanting to keep your mind sharp, and yet literally be in the driver's seat, albeit on two wheels as opposed to four.
Right. You know, you're right. In addition to wanting to keep my mind sharp, I was also wanting to keep my reflexes sharp. I did a lot of things the doctors told me not to do. You know, we're supposed to just relax, let the medicine take care of itself, let the treatments do what they're designed to do, and just get through it, right? But being someone who has always been very active and being someone who's always been, relied upon, I wasn't in an environment that I was comfortable in, which is just sitting at home and waiting for, you know, the treatments to complete themselves. So I had to find ways to, you know, invigorate myself like I would normally do under normal circumstances. So since I couldn't get that in my business, I found other ways. And so I'm a risk taker as an entrepreneur, and I just had to find other ways to take risk to get that level of, you know, adrenaline and you know, personal satisfaction, so to speak. So, I rode my motorcycle when I wasn't supposed to, and typically I rode my motorcycle to my chemo treatment. And I've had to have family come get me and bring my bike home on a truck because I couldn't ride back, things like that. But so it wasn't always the smartest thing to do, but it helped me through it. It helped me through a really trying time in my life, and if I had to do all over again, I would do the exact same thing.
Well, congratulations on being a survivor, and I would even say a thriver, understanding your strengths, understanding your passion, understanding what you needed for it to keep you going. And you're a father of three, and so clearly there was a family that was depending on you. Well, Craig, I really appreciate you sharing your personal perspective and background, and you mentioned that you, in a sense, had to put your business on hold. Significant Business Results Radio is about the entrepreneur, the person behind the business. So let's segue into what is your business about? Your business is called STEM Resource Partners. First of all, how did you come up with that name? And what is it that you do, and who do you do it for?
Okay. So STEM, the name represents the areas of technology in which myself and the teams that work within STEM are experts in, and the type of technology that we endure. We work with engineering systems, scientific systems, and then we use technology as a tool to build technology for our customers. So we are a technology consulting firm by trade. We provide technological subject matter expertise to corporations that are interested in obtaining a competitive edge within their business verticals. I mean, simply put, we try to help our customers take advantage of existing innovative technologies to push them forward, make them more globally competitive, and ultimately helped them survive, you know, the rigors of business and as the global community is collapsing within itself. In other words, the borders are gone. You're competing mm-hmm. with everyone who sells the same products you sell, whether they're in China, in Middle East, or in America. So it's not mm-hmm. just about, you know, American business anymore. You're competing against the world. And so our customers look towards us to help them build that sort of, you know, competitive edge.
Mm. Well, in doing so, in having a team, it certainly makes a lot of sense. How do you lead and guide your team? What are some of your core principles, and what's your vision for your organization?
Sure. Okay. So, you know, the vision is actually really, really simple. We're passionate about, you know, our company and everyone who is a part of the company, whether they're a full-time employee or they are a contractor, really believe in the vision, as I'll share with you now. The mission allows us to be innovative change agents that put us in unique positions to impact corporate America. We want to make changes that impact the world. And as far-fetched as that may sound to some, it's very simple to the others. I mean, we're not saying that we're I guess, for lack of a better word, incredible. We're just saying we want to make a difference. But we hope that making a difference will make us incredible.
Nice. On that note, I like that, making a difference. So on that note, what's a story or an example of where you made a difference with a customer that was really significant, that they said, this has changed us. We are now more
okay.
competitive, and we totally appreciate having the opportunity to work with STEM Resource Partners.
We recently had a client that was in jeopardy of losing a very important client of their own. That was significant enough that if having lost that client had occurred, it could have potentially impacted their stock price. They were a publicly held company. And we were asked, we weren't given a lot of lead time. This was one of those situations that, you know, timing is everything. They needed the help. And so building the team in itself was an incredible feat, because I had to find all the right subject matter experts in, you know, in a right now situation, to help this customer through their, you know, through their trying times. But in doing that, you know, a lot of the adversity that we had to overcome was primarily due to the time. We didn't have a whole lot of time to make this happen. We had to go in and we had to fix, you know, a serious problem with their data. We had to fix a serious problem with their technology. And, you know, and with things like that, there's no foolproof mechanism that you guarantee it'll work. You know, we make these changes and you flip the switch and then you hope the code connects and the servers process and everything comes out in the end as expected. And we were able to achieve it. And the customer was, I mean, they were overwhelmed with, I mean, it's, you know, think about, you know, really difficult time in your life, and when you finally get to the, like a wedding or you know, something significant is about to happen, and you, when you lead up to that date and then the date occurs and everything happens on time and on schedule and within the expectation, and then it's over and you have this real sigh of relief. And, you know, we all went out. I remember I took my team out to dinner, and we celebrated internally that, hey, we did a great job, high fives. But the customer sent us over, you know, a basket, you know, with fruit and vegetables in it. And in the basket was a card, and each one of the team members received a basket. And in the card was a thank you note from the CEO. And it was personalized. Mm. He knew what each individual team member contributed, and he mentioned, you know, he was absolutely indebted to us. And with the card was a $5,000 bonus check. Totally unexpected.
Wow.
And it was, and you know, things like that tend to happen right when you need something like that to happen, right? A few of the team members, one of the team members had, I just remembered, just had a baby. And the mother of the baby was actually the team member. And so she had some trying, you know, times because she was away from her child a little bit longer than she expected to be. And that money allowed them to go on a really nice vacation, and they were able to, you know, get some time back. And two other team members needed some money for college, you know, tuition. So it was a gesture that by far I would say is one of the most appreciative things I've ever seen a client do. That was certainly one of the times that stand out in my mind as far as significance.
Wow, that is a great story. And I love the fact that the CEO not only knew what you did, but understood what the roles that each of the team members played. And so that form of recognition is really powerful. Craig,
yes.
Clearly your organization is on the move. Where do you see your organization going over the next 3 to 5 years in terms of what you can share with us publicly?
In the next 3 to 5 years, I'd like to see our organization become a very dominant component within the big data space. We've already acquired quite a bit of experience. We've acquired quite a bit of an experience, both knowledgeable in terms of certifications and just learning about what big data is and how it works, and also experience from working with clients since 2008 in this space. But there's so much lack of understanding from the corporation standpoint as far as how big data can truly, you know, assist them in gaining that competitive edge and help them become more dominant and use the data a little bit more efficiently than they've typically done in past years, that we truly see that as a space that we can dominate. We already have partnerships with, you know, some really big companies like IBM and Microsoft, but we'd like to see those partnerships grow. And in this big data space, with the number of vendors that are building technologies to support, you know, the type of services that we provide, I honestly believe that we could become a household name in that technological era, as that's becoming more of the dominant innovative technology that's taken over a lot of corporations globally.
Very, very exciting. What I now really want to know, what favorite quote motivates you as a leader, given that you not only have a vision for your business, but you really share the more concretely, the 5-year plan?
You know, I have a favorite quote, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what the quote is, and there's a story behind it.
Great.
You know, the quote is, stepping forward into a new goal is the only way to achieve your fullest potential. The longer you wait for the right opportunities, the more opportunities will pass you by. The easy choice is to take them all. Now, that quote is significant because I actually said those words to a group of I was actually a speaker at a commencement high school graduation commencement ceremony. And I was asked to speak to some students. You know, we tell them the words they need to hear in order to motivate them to go out there and charge and get through college and you know, start life out on the right foot. And so I shared some stories about, you know, my upbringing and such. And when I shared those words, I was talking about opportunities, and I was talking about, you know, how I defined an opportunity for me and what I thought they could use, you know, as sort of a template of, you know, don't look at opportunities as things that are tied to income or tied to, you know, success or accomplishments, but look at opportunities that are tied to anything that will get you those things, right? So, but when I said those words, I wasn't saying them as a quote. I was just saying them as a part of the discussion about opportunities. And one of the students that heard me say that sent me an email a few days later, and he capitalized those words in the form of a quote. And at the bottom of the quote, it said, by Dr. Craig Brown. And he put it in an image, and so it was an image. And if you go to my Facebook, Dr. Craig Brown, my Facebook page, my fan page, that quote is at the top, and it's been there since 2013. So because now that I'm reading the words that I said, they resonate again with me. So that's one of my favorite quotes, and I guess it's fortunate that I'm actually the person that said it, but it wasn't by design.
And how wonderful that a student took the time to memorialize that quote in a gift back to you. So you truly knew that you were being heard and that someone was taking action. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. Craig, I know that we could spend much more time talking and sharing and learning. And we do have a time limit on the show. So I'd like to ask you sort of the final question, and that is, what advice, in addition to the stories that you've shared, would you give to another entrepreneur who may be either struggling with achieving significant business results and or on the path towards achieving significant business results?
Okay, so, you know, that's probably a show in itself, just talking about advice, right? Just giving words of encouragement and providing, you know, insight and things like that, because advice can be given in so many different ways. You know, with the limited time, I'll just share a couple of things that have motivated me, advice I've received and I've used over the years that I, you know, attribute to my successes and accomplishments as well. One of them is to go after things that are near and dear to you. You will find that, you know, in an entrepreneurial space, you have a lot of choices on the types of things that you pursue. You can't pursue everything, although you have to try. But the things that are close, the things that mean something to you, oftentimes will help you get through, you know, all the phases of entrepreneurship in terms of success, failures, setbacks, and so forth. So, going after things that are near and dear to you or something that I live by those words, and I try to do that as best I can. Another thing that I like to say is, you know, to turn a hustle into a goal. You know, hustle was another way of saying focus, right? And focus is something you put, you know, a lot of energy into and a lot of time and such. But if you make it a goal, then that hustle gains legs, it gains arms, and it gains a lot more momentum than just the energy and the impact that the hustle initially initiated. That's a terminology I know the young people like, so I try to incorporate, you know, the same words that they use every day and the words I share with them. You know, another thing is to see the world as it should be and not as it is. Entrepreneurial people are linked to many changes that change the world into the world that it is today. And the world is ultimately always evolving into something that it will become tomorrow. Keep your eyes on tomorrow. Don't get trapped in the way things are today. Make the change a part of your product or your service. And then my favorite advice that I've received that I ultimately live by is, failure is not personal. Failure befalls upon us all equally. So in those times of distress or when you're discouraged or when, you know, the chips are down, you don't use that time to question yourself. You don't use that time to question if you're even on the right path. Use that time to motivate yourself to overcome. And we know we hear that all the time, you know, when the chips are down, and keep trying, and sometimes it's easier said than done. But don't look at failure as personal failure. Look at it just as a setback and try to overcome it, and don't throw a pity party. I know a lot of entrepreneurs that leave the game to go into, you know, the workforce where they're not happy because they thought that, you know, they failed and they don't have it in them. But that's part of being an entrepreneur is to fall and get back up. So the advice I just shared is advice I use, and I attribute a lot of my successes to, you know, to sticking to those words and living by them, figuratively and literally.
Well, I appreciate that you took the time to share four different pieces of advice that are really interrelated. and STEM interrelates four different aspects of looking at business. So I know that there are some listeners that want to know how to get in touch with you, Dr. Craig Brown, and also learn more about your business, STEM Resource Partners. Would you share that information with folks?
Sure. So you can reach us. You can reach me through my business at stemresourcepartners.com, and you can reach me directly through craigbrownphd.com. And my contact information is on the website.
Great. And you're also on LinkedIn, so folks can read more about you on LinkedIn as well. Well, Craig,
yes.
It's really been a pleasure. Thank you so much again for opening the show with a little bit about your education, your passion, your purpose, some of your challenges, and ways that your perspective on life has really helped you and your team and your clients move forward. So I appreciate
yes.
you taking some time out of your evening tonight and look forward to hearing more about your journeys. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So listeners, please continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and to subscribe to Significant Business Results Radio. Our guest tonight was Dr. Craig Brown with STEM Resource Partners. Join us as we continue the journey.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.